And so today I want to look at, Matthew chapter 5 in verse 7. Amen. So if you have your Bible, open it to Matthew chapter 5, verse 7, and I'll read there for you. Amen. And it says, amen. I'll wait for you to get it. Amen. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 7. It says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Ain't that something? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Man, I can't wait for that to happen. Blessed are the peacemakers, my goodness, for they shall be called sons. My. Did you see that? For they shall be called what? Sons of God. Are you with me? Look at the next verse, verse 10. It says, blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness. You know, that happens to you. Your attack is because you're living righteously. But here's the promise. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I want to talk about this morning attitudes that belong in the kingdom of God. Part 2. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. And today we are here to hear from you, God. Lord, bless the preaching of your word this morning. Stand in my body, think with my mind, speak with my voice, and bless the hearts and the minds of your people now. Lord, we want a different attitude because we need one. Lord, we belong to you. And as a child of God, we no longer want to be weighed down with the old attitude. So would you bless this preaching now? Bless us and transform us, God, as we hear your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank God. You may be seated in the presence of God. Amen. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, I got a new attitude. My. Give God a hand clap of praise. Come on, you got a new attitude. Come on. Don't you let Satan fool you. You got a new attitude. Amen. You know, the question is, how does attitude affect or influence our behavior? You know, attitudes are infectious. Amen. You know, attitudes can affect people, amen, in different ways. You know, you can be in a situation around some people with a bad attitude, and all of a sudden you find yourself acting like them, talking like them, responding like them, and you're wondering what's going on with you. And you're saying to yourself, man, I can't believe I just said that. Or I can't believe that I respond. You ever get caught off guard where you just respond in such a way where you're like, man, I'm not proud of myself. I know I should have done better, heard? I know I should have done better, but I didn't do better. Amen. And so sometimes the people that we hang with, amen, as much as you say, well, that's my best friend, their attitude can affect you. Are you with me? And a person may not always be aware of his or her attitude, you know. Amen. And not only that, but attitudes has a way of affecting, amen, how we behave. And sometimes we're walking around and we may not seem like we have an attitude, but watch this. Our nonverbal, amen, our body language, amen, our facial expression, amen. Amen. Our verbal expressions also may say something different than what we really portray. And I want to tell you something. Amen. I've been there where I'm not mad, but really I know deep down inside of me, come on somebody, I had an attitude. Are you with me? And so it's one thing to be cognitive of it. There's one thing to be aware of it, but there's another thing to do something about it. And one of the things that you and I have inside of us, what I've been talking about all morning long, is the Holy Spirit that gives us fruits. Because when you look at what Jesus is saying here on this mountain while he's teaching these people, these virtues, these fruits are really the fruits of the Spirit. Are you with me? And so if we're going to live by kingdom principles, then we must possess the right attitude. And you know what I found out? I found out that people, sometimes they're not experiencing the blessings of the kingdom, of being part of the kingdom, because they do not possess the right attitude. Do I have anybody? And listen, I understand that you may get upset quickly. I understand that you may have low tolerance for certain things. I understand that you may say things a certain way. I understand that you may say to me, I was born this way. But you know what I'll say to you? You've been born again. Come on, somebody. And if any man be in Christ, you hear me say this all the time, he's a new creature. All things have passed away. But Paul says this. Paul says, get rid of what remains, what I call residue. Are you with me? And here's the thing. If you are a believer, the one thing that you and I must practice is we must practice walking in the Spirit, living in the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit. Come on, somebody. Being led by the Spirit. And when you live a Spirit-filled life, you are able to, watch this, really get rid of the old attitude. Am I right about it? How many have experienced that? I'm gonna put one hand. I'm not all the way there yet. Come on, somebody. But I'm still under construction. And the beautiful thing about it is that I am aware of my attitude. Some people are not aware of their negativity. They're not aware that they say things. I used to just say anything. Come on, somebody. Not that I was being mean. I was just direct. And I felt like if I'm for real, I'm going to tell you the truth. But then the Bible taught me something. The Bible says if you're going to tell the truth, do it in love. See, and if I love you, I ought to love you enough to tell you the truth. But while telling you the truth, the Bible says I ought to be careful with that because I may have the same tendency after I have told you about you to fall right into the same thing that I just talked to you about. That ever happened to you? You told somebody something? And then all of a sudden, Satan tries to prove to you right after you said something to them, guess what? You ain't no different. Ooh. And so the effects of negativity, people have a tendency to use their attitudes, check this out, to protect their egos. I'm going somewhere. Resulting in a common negative attitude. Not only that, but people develop what I call value that they live by. And over time, the values that they hold to, check this out, may not be biblical. But when you violate their values, they get attitude. I'm going somewhere with this. And listen, negativity, I told you this last week, will not keep you out of the kingdom, but it will keep you from enjoying a life in the kingdom. And so what God is saying to us today, amen, is that he wants us to develop a different attitude. He wants us to have a kingdom attitude so that we can enjoy kingdom blessings. Because God cannot and will not give us more than what we have if we don't have the right attitude about it. Do I have anybody? Anybody here, you get an attitude quick? Amen. Y'all don't want to raise your hand. It's okay. Amen. Certain times of the year, y'all get sensitive. I wish I had somebody. I ain't talking to nobody. Amen. You know, I'm just saying, thank you very much. And so my aim today is to introduce you to what I call attitudes that belong in the kingdom. Now, here's some questions. Do you want the blessings of... Now, listen to this. There's a blessing. Remember what I told you about the Beatitudes? What I told you? I told you the Beatitudes, there are three things, three elements that comprise the Beatitudes. What's the first one, Chan? The first one is a blessing. There's a blessing for having, come on, y'all. God rewards us for stuff. You get points for that. You follow what I'm saying? You know, God blesses us for having the right attitude. That's one of the blessings of the Beatitude. Number two, the next element is a quality. Oh, girl, you got that. A what? A quality of life that you get. Come on, somebody. Wouldn't it be nice to just go home sometime without all the drugs? Wouldn't it be nice to go to work every now and then without the drama? Wouldn't it be nice to go through the drive-thru? Drive-thru. Amen. Without what? Without the attitude. Wouldn't it be nice to show up at the grocery store? Amen. Without. Come on, somebody. It would be nice, right? And so what I want to say is when you, see who I says, you can live in a one-bedroom shack, come on, somebody, and have, amen, a quality of life because it's not based upon money, but on the attitude that you possess. Come on, somebody. Amen. And watch this. And the right attitude, I'm talking about the kingdom attitude that you possess, watch this, will give you a quality of life. And what was the last thing I told you? I told you the next element was a reason why the recipient, watch this, should be considered blessed. So Jesus starts off, he said, blesses this, blesses that, right? So in other words, you're blessed for having the right attitude. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm blessed. See, a lot of people say that. And they equate that with what? Money and material things. But if I can look you in the eyes today and tell you I'm blessed because I don't curse no more. Come on, somebody. I don't lie anymore. Come on, somebody. Hey, listen, I don't go to places that I used to go because God changed my life. I have a motivation now that's different. So really, what I'm talking about is putting my hands on things that are really tangible, and that is, watch this, a changed life. I wish I had you, boy. See, I love being a kingdom man. Come on, somebody. How many love being a kingdom person? How many like being a kingdom woman? How many like being a kingdom man? Amen. And while being a kingdom person, we have access to everything that's available, amen, in this kingdom. Watch this. When you entered into God's kingdom, the first thing you got was grace and mercy. Come on, somebody. Now, here's what's so beautiful about grace and mercy. See, God knew that we would mess up. Come on, somebody. God knew that, you know what? Even though I saved them, guess what? They're going to mess up. And so what God does for us, he continuously, because you are a kingdom person, he continues to extend, come on somebody, his grace and his mercy. In other words, he keeps giving you a second chance. Listen, that second chance should have been, amen, about a 50th chance. But it seems like a second chance, but if you ever look at it, when we go back to thinking the old way, God still looks out for us. You know why God still looks out for you? Because you're part of his kingdom. You see, here's the thing. The kingdom is different. The kingdom of God is different than Satan's kingdom. In Satan's kingdom, you mess up, that's it. You don't get no second chance. Amen. You don't get no slap on the wrist. Amen. If it had not been for God intervening, even on Satan's territory, come on, somebody, you and I wouldn't be here today. Because as bad as we were, bad off that is, amen. Guess what? We don't deserve another chance, but God. Come on, somebody. But God, who saw past our faults, he looked beyond my faults and guess what he did? He saw me. He knew me from my mother's womb. He's intimately acquainted with me. Before a word is on my mouth, he knows it. Amen. If I make my bed in hell, he's there. If I make my bed in heaven, he's there. A God like that is who we serve. But I want to say something to somebody here this morning. Maybe it's your attitude that's keeping you from enjoying a quality of life that God wants to give you. And so let's look at this today. Let's look at it. Told you Jesus was teaching them on the mountain. He had just been tested, tempted. Satan had tried to get him to turn back. He started his ministry, called his first disciples. He starts his ministry in Galilee. And now he's on the mountain teaching. And then in verse 7 is where we'll pick up. He says, blessed are the merciful. Is that right? I'm sorry, verse 7. Yeah, blessed are the merciful. Now, this word merciful, it's a pretty powerful word. Pretty powerful word. But to summarize merciful or mercy, it has the idea of compassion. That's what he said. So the next attitude we have to possess in the kingdom is an attitude of compassion. You know, not just in deed, but in thought. I wish I had somebody. He says, blessed are the merciful. Now, merciful people are compassionate people. Doesn't mean they're soft. They still have a standard. But they are compassionate enough, amen, where they possess an understanding. Come on, somebody. And there I see in the body of Christ, I see people who are not compassionate. They're not willing to give somebody a second chance. Are you with me? Now you got to qualify who you give a second chance to. But because here's the thing, sometimes you can give a second chance to a fool and he keep using you. You with me? So just because I'm compassionate doesn't mean I'm weak. You follow what I'm saying? Just because I'm compassionate doesn't mean you can run all over me, but I hold a standard. Are you with me? Now, watch this now. Watch this now. Watch the blessing. So I'm going to show you the attitude. I'm going to show you the blessing. The blessing is what? For they shall receive what? Mercy. So in other words, you receive what you give. And so if I am compassionate to you, the only thing I ought to receive in return from kingdom people is compassion also. In other words, compassion here, this attitude is like a mirror. That when I look at you, I look at you with compassion. And when you look at me, I get the same reflection back. Come on, somebody. When I look into this mirror of compassion, listen, you can't tell me I need to be compassionate when you're not compassionate. Oh, come on, somebody. Are you with me? You have to extend the same thing to me as I extend to you. Because watch this. Because in the kingdom, we're equal. Amen. I haven't been the most compassionate man. Amen. But one thing I do know, God has been good to me. And not only was he being good to me, but God has shown me in the process of living that he showed me that as much compassion as I've shown you, you have to show others. Are you following me? And sometimes because of our past, come on somebody. But here's the thing, remember now, our past been erased, so now we have to work on this stuff. And if you don't work on it, amen, you're never going to develop it. And so this attitude, this first attitude, is an attitude of compassion. Then he goes on, verse 8. Amen, y'all didn't get that, but it's all right. Blessed are the what? Pure in heart. You know what that word means? Unstained by the world. Unstained by the world. Watch this. Watch this now. Clean. Pure. In a spiritual sense, though. In a spiritual sense, from pollution and guilt of sin. Upright. Void of evil. So the next attitude, and this is one that the Lord helped me with. Listen, I was the opposite of everything in him. And guess what? God's still working on me. But you got to be honest with where you are. See, I see people in the kingdom of God, been in the kingdom a long time, and they got bad attitudes, man. They don't have B attitudes. They got bad, they add a AD to the end rather than an E. you're like, wow, what, you know, I understand the usher got to be stern, but I mean, come on now. Listen, if somebody off the street walk out and you reflect compassion, guess what? They're going to reflect it back. Compassion is something that's in us. It just has to be brought out of us. But here's the next attitude that's really powerful. An attitude of honesty. When he says pure in heart, what he's talking about is honesty. In other words, I tell the truth at all times. When I take your word, I should be able to take it to the bank and it not bounce. Amen. And listen, now be careful now, because honesty does not mean arrogance. Remember what I said earlier. I can be honest with you, but I got to make sure that I'm not saying it out of retaliation. Come on, y'all. I got to make sure that by my honesty, I'm not just pointing out your faults without looking at my own. But not only in conversation, but honesty in life. Unstained from the world. What's the blessing? What's the blessing? See, that makes sense to me that God would reveal himself to those, come on, somebody, who are pure in heart. Watch what the text says. The text says, for they shall see God. You know what I want to tell you right there? In other words, an experience with God like no other. I was in my prayer closet this morning, and I'm telling you, thank God he doesn't look at our sins, y'all. And I want to tell you something. I'm not going to beat myself up. I'm going to say this to you. I try not to beat myself up over my shortcomings. That's why I go to my prayer closet, so that I can get it right with God. Because watch this. I was sharing with the deacons. I said, here's the one thing you got to remember. When the veil was ripped, come on, somebody. When Jesus was hanging on that cross and when he had died and the veil ripped. See, what was behind that veil is very important. Here's what was behind that veil. The Ark of the Covenant. The Word of God. And the priest that would go behind that curtain. Guess what? To make intercession for me. You say, what does it got to do with my honesty, Pastor? What's this got to do with being pure in heart? See, here's the thing. Even though I fall short, Bobby, when that veil ripped, I got access. You know why it was a veil and not a door? Because God knew that it was only temporary. And so when he says, blessed are the pure in heart, it means that, listen, the more time I go into his presence, come on somebody, the more he transforms me. Listen, you have something that somebody else don't have in Satan's kingdom. You and I have access to God. Don't take that for granted. Don't take that for granted that you can open your mouth and you can go right into the throne room of heaven and say, God, touch me, oh wretched man that I am. Sincerity is what the word means. Upright, void of evil. Listen, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I've never seen God, because if I did, I would die. But here's what I do know. How many of you have had an experience with God? And listen, I'm talking about an experience. You know why you had that experience? Check out where you were when you had, check out what your attitude was like when you had that experience. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. An attitude of what? Honesty. Now watch this. Watch what next. Watch what we say next, and we're going to go home. Blessed. Are the peacemakers. Not messy. Or looking to cause mess. He sees mess and extinguishes it. That's deep. So tell me what's the deal? No. This attitude belongs in the kingdom because there's a lot of mess in the kingdom right now. And it seems to me we're missing the mark. Because what I see in the kingdom, we're promoting mess rather than extinguishing mess. Hello, somebody. You ready for the next attitude, number three? An attitude that promotes peace. A proponent of peace, a promoter of peace. This person does not condone nor participates in evil. This person is concerned with bringing about the ending, watch this, of hostilities while affecting the attitudes of those who are concerned. Are you with me? In other words, this person becomes what I call a legitimate child. For I wish I had y'all today, boy. Look what the text says. What's the blessing? For they shall be called family. I want to say this to you. If you are tearing your family apart, that's the wrong attitude. And there are a lot of people that are tearing their family apart because they're not peacemakers. They're hijackers. They're part of that mafia I told you about. He says, blessed are the peacemakers. Watch this now. Because when you become a peacemaker, then you're truly a son of God. He says, for you shall be, listen, that title alone should make you feel good today. I'm going to be a peacemaker. There's aggravation in your marriage. There's aggravation at the job. There's aggravation between your children. Seek to make peace. Be the one who stands in between and says, listen, y'all, here's the thing. Here's what we're going to do. We're gonna try to make a peace today. I'm not going to fuel your fire. But this attitude is something that I want. Because, see, I can call myself a Christian all I want, but I'm not promoting peace in my church. I'm not promoting peace at the job. What I'm trying to do is find out the scoop, and then I'm throwing more fire on it, more grease on it. You ever throw grease on a fire? That's not what you're supposed to do, right? What's going to happen? Right? It gets worse. And so why does he say this? Because he knows that when people come together, they all got problems. In other words, here's what you get. You become, watch this. You're a true family now. But here's what comes with being true with family. Benefits. Y'all ain't trying to hit me. Y'all say, here's the thing. You start having the Abrahamic blessings. Come on, somebody. 7,476 promises that belongs to you because you're part of the family. See, a lot of people want to claim the promise. I'm gonna lay my hand and claim it, but you're not even family. I'm trying to tell you something. How can you tell me you're in church, but you don't want to promote peace in your church and you want to call yourself family? A family member does not divide a family. And especially the head of the family. Listen, pastor has to be firm at times. That doesn't mean I'm dividing my family. Pastor has to hold you accountable. That doesn't mean that I'm dividing my family. But when we become a proponent for peace, if we're in a deacon meeting, if we're in a staff meeting, if we're in a leaders meeting, and somebody gets out of character, we're going to stop the meeting and make peace. And I hope that you and I, from now on, we will start promoting. We're going to be promoters of peace. When somebody call you with some mess today, they're going to call you today. I promise. They're going to call you today. It seems like when you learn this stuff, it's like, dad, no. It's like, shoot, where did that come? Well, let's do this. How can we resolve this matter? It's unresolvable. It cannot be fixed. Yes, it can. If man made it, it can be fixed. Come on, somebody. If man, listen, you didn't say that when you messed it up. Or when you messed up. So I'm going to be one that promotes peace. You know why? Look at the blessing. Look at the blessing, y'all. What's the blessing? First of all, I'm going to be called what? A son of what? I become family. What's the other blessing? He says, I'll see God. What's the other blessing behind the other one with the right attitude? What did he say? What's the other attitude? He says, first of all, I'll see God. The second thing, I have the kingdom of God. No, I'm sorry. Compassion? No, but I'm talking about the blessing. He said in verse 7 that for they shall see God. That's an experience with God. Then number 2, he says, for they shall be called what? Sons of God. Are you with me? That's number 3. I missed one. Okay. Oh, you receive compassion, right? Amen. Now look at the next verse. Blessed the pure heart. Verse 9. Blessed the peacemaker, right? But I'm my last one and I'm done. Watch what he says now. See, this is the part that we struck. This is where our attitude comes from. You ready? I'm almost done. This is what happens to us. This is how we develop bad attitudes. Ready? Blessed are they, are those. See, here's the key word here. No. For the sake of righteousness. See, if you have the right perspective of why you're going through, and the source of why, then you can handle it better. I know that when I'm persecuted, it ain't because of me. It's because of who I know. It's because of whose family and whose kingdom I'm a part of. But watch what he says. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness. We don't retaliate. We don't quit. We overcome. So my last point is an attitude of an overcomer. We stand strong in the midst of persecution because we know why. Come on, somebody. We're being persecuted. He says, blessed are those who have been persecuted, beat down, talked about, lied on, scandalized. Come on, somebody. For the sake of what? Righteousness. You've been living right. But ever since you've been living right, folk been coming to you. Come on, somebody. And they've been trying to sabotage your walk. But he says the one who overcomes, that's the one that receives the kingdom of heaven. The Bible says, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's the blessing. The blessing is, no matter how much I go through, I am persecuted, but not cast down. I'm talked about, lied on, yeah, Lord. But thank God that I got the right attitude while I'm going through. Can I tell you a few things about what the Bible says about an overcomer? Are you ready for this? Revelation 2:7 says, he who overcomes will eat from the tree of life. Revelation 2:11 says, he who overcomes will not be hurt by the second death. Revelation 2:26 says, he who overcomes, I will give authority over the nations. Revelation 3:5 says, he who overcomes, he will be clothed with white, and I will not erase his name from the book of life. Come on, somebody. Revelation 3:12 says, he who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of God. Revelation 3:21-22 says, he who overcomes, I will grant him to sit down with me on my throne. Revelation John, 1 John 5:5 says, he who overcomes the world, but he who believes that Jesus is the Christ. Do I have anybody? I want to tell you, I want to be an overcomer. So I need an attitude of an overcomer. Listen, I want to tell you, hold on while you're going through. Don't you turn back. Don't you quit. The going gets rough, but you will be rewarded one day for overcoming. Don't you turn back. Don't you give in. Don't you let your attitude stop you from what God has for you. But if you have a kingdom attitude, everything is going to be all right. You see, in ballroom dancing, the job of the man in ballroom dancing is to lead. The job of the woman, if her partner knows what he's doing, amen, is to follow his lead. Do I have anybody? You see, it's his job to watch the floor and see where all the other dancers are. All she has to do is line up with his movement. I'm going somewhere. She puts his hand in his hands. I'm going somewhere. She puts her arm around his shoulder and he sets the pace. She yokes herself up with him as he moves. She moves. She kind of glides and doesn't worry about anything that's going on. But watch this. But he has to keep his eyes open to know where he's what he's doing and where he's going. Do I have anybody? Can I tell you something? Jesus wants us to know that he's willing to do the work. Do I have anybody? He's willing to take the lead. He's willing to hold your hand. He's willing to move you where he wants you, but you got to trust him. And not only do you have to trust him, but you got to have the right attitude about being led. Because watch this, if you lose faith in him, if you take your eyes off of him, if you move your hands off of him, you're going to fall. You have to possess the right attitude if you want to dance with him. Give God a hand clap of praise.